of the rich. Lifestyles of the rich. Let me ask you real quick. I got a question. How many of you today are rich? Would you raise your hand? If you're rich, would you raise? There's not very many people raising their hand this morning. That's right. I just asked a question that's very uncomfortable to ask. It's probably not the question that you lead in when you meet somebody. Could you imagine me standing out in the foyer and meeting somebody for the first time today? Or you're just, and you start asking people, so how much money do you make? Be kind of awkward, right? We're kind of uncomfortable. It's almost like taboo to talk about what people make, whether people are rich or not. And that's understandable. I think because of that, we really don't have a good indicator of what wealthy really is. In fact, if I was to ask you today, if I was to go and take a poll throughout everybody this morning, more than likely each and every one of you would tell me that however much money you're making annually right now, you would need to make more than that to be rich. So if I was to ask you this morning, if I was to ask those of you that maybe this morning you make $50,000, you'd probably tell me this morning that you would need to make $75,000 to be rich. But then if I asked people this morning that you made $100,000 annually, how much you would need, you would probably tell me you need to make $200,000 a year to be rich. And then for those of you that make $200,000 a year, if you made, let's say, $250,000 a year, you would tell me, this is what statistics say. Statistics say you would tell me you would have to have about $5 million in liquid assets for you to believe that you are rich. And then for all of you that have $5 million in cash laying around, well, there's probably none of you here this morning that do, but if there was, I bet you if I walked up to somebody that had $5 million in cash and asked them, what would it take for you to be rich? Because they're not rich. They would probably say, if I had $10 million in cash, then I would think myself to be rich. The reality is this morning is that all of us are rich. In fact, they say if you make, listen to this, they say if you make more than $40,000 a year, you are more wealthy than 90% of the people in the world. So for most of us Americans this morning, the truth is that we are rich. And so since we're rich, we need to act like it. Any of you ever see the movie My Fair Lady? It's an old movie. Oh, there's some of you. Some of you just told me how old you were this morning. It's an older movie, but I want to share this with you. And it's kind of been repeated through various types of movies, the same premise of the story. It's about a little girl. Her name is Eliza Doolittle. She's played by Audrey Hepburn in the movie. And there's a group of wealthy men that are in the community, and they see Eliza Doolittle, she's a lower class, she's like a little flower girl, doesn't have much. And this professor, amongst this group of wealthy men in the community, he makes a bet with the other men that he's surrounded by. He says, I bet you that I could take that young lady and I could cause her to be rich and to fit in with people that are rich. I mean, he could do this makeover to her. And so they make this bet. They didn't believe that he could do it. So over, he takes her through this whole process. And over this period of time, he teaches her things like social cues amongst rich people, how to act amongst wealthy people, like certain decorum and behaviors and social cues, and even teaches her a certain posture, how to hold herself as if she is rich. And wouldn't you know it, by the end of the movie, she fits right in with all these wealthy. She even becomes wealthy. And here's what I want to do. For the next few weeks, I'm going to kind of do my version. I'm calling it The Lifestyles of the Rich. And this will be a little bit different. This isn't something you're going to see like on Bravo TV, right? This isn't like Keeping Up with the Kardashians or any of that. And actually, what we're going to do for the next 4 weeks, if you are rich, or even if you're not rich but you want to be rich, or if this morning you admit with me that you are rich, I'm going to teach you how to act as if you're rich. Or if you'll admit it this morning, for those of you that admit this morning you're rich, how to act if you are rich. And actually, This is something the Bible gives us some very clear instructions on how we are to live if or as if we are rich. So here's what I did this morning. I'm gonna teach a little bit different today because I really want you to grasp what I'm gonna share with you today. I believe it's God's plan for all of us to be rich. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says it's God's plan is that we would prosper. Okay? And I'm not talking about rich just in your finances. I'm talking about just having the blessings of God in our life, which are rich, which make us rich. But there are certain behaviors that are expected of those of us that are Christians that are rich. Did you know that? That there are certain behaviors that God requires of those of us who are rich. And you'll find this all throughout the scripture, but specifically, if you would, turn with me this morning to the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And this is the Apostle Paul. He writes this letter. This is the way they would communicate in those days. He writes a letter to Timothy, who's kind of his protege. He calls him his son in the gospel. And so he writes a letter to Timothy. And listen to what he says. Watch this closely. He says, teach those who are rich. Here's what you're to teach them. That they are not to be proud, that they're not to trust in their money, he says, because that's so unreliable, that their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. I've highlighted a couple things that I want you to catch as we're going through this verse today. And we're going to just go through this verse for about 4 weeks because there's so much packed inside of this. But number one, he said, I want you to write to those that are rich in this world, those that are wealthy. And I want just a couple things I want you to point out to them. Number one, that they're not to be proud, that they're not to trust in their money because money is unreliable. But then he says something that I think so many of us gloss over so much. He says that God richly gives us these things for our enjoyment. That the reason, one of the things God does, he blesses you and you are to enjoy his blessings in your life. But then he goes on, he's going to talk about some of the behaviors. And he says, command, look at this strong language he uses. Command them to do good. They are to be rich in good deeds. And watch this, they are to be generous. I want you to pay attention especially to this little portion right here. They're to be generous and they're to be willing to share. We're going to come back and talk about this. Kind of our focal point today is here in verse 18. Verse 19, he says, by doing this, they will be storing up treasure in a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. And then here's our last week. We're going to go into verse 20 because he says, Timothy, listen to me. He says, guard what God has entrusted to you. So keep this up on the screen real fast because I want to show you what I've come up with. I took this passage and I broke it into four segments. So for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to show you what the lifestyle, the behaviors, the way we act, our posture, these things that this professor taught little Audrey Hepburn, that this is how we're to behave if we are rich. And if you want to be rich, if you're not rich today, but you want to be rich, then you need to follow. In fact, I call it the formula for being rich. There are four things that I can see here that Paul's writing and telling Timothy that I want you to tell these four things to everybody that is rich in this world. And he says, I want them to be humble. He says, don't be proud. And so here's the formula that I'm going to give you this morning to being rich. He says, I want you to be humble, right? He says, number one, I want you to be faithful. I want you to be full of faith. I don't want you to trust in money because money's unreliable. I want you to put your trust in God. So you're supposed to be full of faith with your resources if you are rich. And then he also says that I want you to be disciplined. At the very end, he says, Timothy, you are to guard what has been entrusted to you. We're going to talk about this in the last week of our series, that you're to be disciplined. But the other thing that he says is he says that we are to be generous. Look at there in verse 18. I am commanding you. This is not optional. Just so you know, if you're rich and you're a Christian, what I'm going to share with you is not optional. Command them. They are to be generous and they are to be willing to share. So this is what we're going to talk about. We're talking about when you're humble, then you're not arrogant. If you're rich, You're not to be arrogant. This refers to our posture. In fact, you realize that what God's given you is to be a blessing to others. When you're faithful, you trust in God and not in money. When you're disciplined, you guard and you become a good steward with what God has trusted you. And then if you're generous, which that's really what I want to talk about today, is what this passage teaches us about being generous. Now, here's what generosity is simply this. Generosity is the readiness to give more than is expected or necessary. Did you catch that? This is the definition. By the way, if you have a handout this morning on your seat, you can pull it out. I'm going to fill in some blanks this morning. I really want you to catch what I'm going to share with you over the next few weeks. I believe that God wants to prosper you. And I believe that God can make you to be rich. In fact, it's his plan for you to prosper. There's a formula to it. And the first one is that we are to be generous. And this is what generosity is the readiness to give more than what is expected or necessary. Now, you'll agree with me because if you've ever met people that you identified as generous, they have like this, it's like they're this bubbly attitude about them. Like they are looking for opportunities to give even above and beyond what's expected or necessary. They're eager about it. Like they get excited when they're able to give. You know, people that are, and you'll say things like, man, that person's really generous. Because they're eager, they're ready. They're just looking for opportunities to give above and beyond what is expected or necessary. And so we say people like that are generous. But here's the deal. Paul says that this is also one of the primary biblical expectations of those who are rich. So it's not just for a select few people like, oh, those are generous people. If you're a Christian and you're rich, then the biblical expectation for you is that you are to be generous. That's why he says command them. He uses this strong language. This is not optional. This isn't if you want to. He says, I'm commanding them to be generous. Listen, Paul writes about it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And then watch this. This is why, okay? This is the why behind he's doing this. It's so that when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Paul says, when you give, and then we take the gifts that you've given us, and we give them to the people that need them, you know what their response is going to be? Thank God. Those of you that sponsored a One Child Matters child, a few weeks ago, we had an organization come through, One Child Matters, and they brought about 45 children's names to us in the country of Haiti. These are kids that are in poverty. They are impoverished. And they have, I don't mean like they need an iPod or iPhones or, you know, they need things like food and water and education, the necessities. And we sponsored, our church a few weeks ago, we sponsored 45 children every single month, which was awesome. And this week, I got letters from two of the children because we sponsored one for Drew and one for Megan. And we got letters this week. And you know how they opened up the letter? Drew, I want to thank God for you, right? So God enriched us so that we could be generous. We turned around, we sent money to that organization. They turned around, they took those gifts, and they begin to thank us for things. Man, we thank God that because of you, we were able to have an education. We had some of our basic needs met. This is what Paul says happened. We've seen this in real life just the last few weeks. He says, so two good things will result from the ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. Isn't that awesome? So write this down. We were made rich so that we would be generous. So if you are wondering why you got that promotion on the job, why you are making more money today than you ever have before, what's the purpose of God enriching your life? The reason Paul says that we're enriched is it's so that we will be generous. I know you thought, oh man, I thought it was so I could go buy something new. I could, and there is a point. God says, I want you to enjoy it. But you are called to be generous. We're called to meet the needs of others so that ultimately they give glory to God. So it goes like this. God blesses you. You bless others. And then all the glory goes back to God. They start thanking God for you. And it's a cycle. And so then God blesses you some more. You bless others. They bless God. God blesses you. You bless others. And they bless God. This is the whole point of why God enriches you. It's so that we can be generous. And so generosity sounds amazing, right? You're like, man, that's the way I want to live. In my opinion, this is the ideal type of life, is to live a generous life. But the truth is being generous isn't always that easy. Right? For those of us that are stingy, that we're greedy, generosity isn't that easy. And it's not like you wake up one day and you're stingy and you're greedy. You wake up the next morning and the light bulb went on and now you are Mr. Generosity. I mean, you are just ready to give to every single person in need. And you got that eagerness and that readiness. Man, Pastor Donnie, I want to be generous. It doesn't happen that way. The truth is, I love how Dr. Leaf explained some of this last week, just about ideas in our life, is that just like anything else, right, generosity is something that has to be developed within you. It doesn't happen overnight. In fact, the truth is, it takes time to develop generosity in your life to the point where eventually, and this is what I believe, the lifestyle of the rich is when generosity becomes a habit. Generosity just becomes habitual for you. But the truth is, you're probably not going to wake up tomorrow and make generosity happen. So I'm going to show you three ways, and they're kind of progressive in nature, that will help you to become generous. One, because I want your life to be blessed. And two, because it is your obligation, it's God's expectation on your life is for you to be generous. And so it's my responsibility. That's what Paul writes to Timothy. He says, I want you to teach those who are rich. It's my responsibility to teach you the lifestyle, the expected lifestyle of those who are rich. So let's take a look. There's three ways that we can start to be generous. And number one is this. Pull out your hand out again. I'm going to have you write these things down because I want them to sink in. I want you to really grasp this one. Number one is start giving spontaneously. Start by giving spontaneously. Here's the deal. In order for you to be generous, you first have to have a desire to be generous. I call this wish to be generous. Wish to be generous. Wishing is one of those weird things that we as humans do. You remember as a child, and it was your birthday party, and you had a cake, and you had candles on the cake, and you were about to blow it out, and one of your friends or your parents would say, wait, 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 make a wish, right? And I mean, you would wish for like, you know, a pony. You would wish that you were going to be an astronaut. You would wish maybe that you're going to fly to space. Or you wish for, so they're kind of like these fleeting thoughts that go through. But the thing about wishes, I know they seem short-lived, but they actually can teach us something. They are a way for us to express the most abstract desires of our heart. They're a way for us to start to think about the things that we most want. And since generosity has to start somewhere, I think the easiest place for it to begin is just to begin to wish for it. Just begin to wish you were generous. Say things like, man, I wish I could give more to the church. Man, I really wish I could support one of those One Child Mattered or the children's life. Or maybe, man, I wish I could support another. Maybe you sponsor one. You're saying, man, I wish I had so much money that I could help every single person in need. These are great places to start with generosity. Because here's the deal about generosity. Generosity is all about the heart. And wishes are a way to express the things that are closest to our heart. That's why when Jesus would talk about generosity, he didn't talk about how much money you gave. He always talked about the heart. Generosity starts within the heart. That's where it starts. And so the way that you can start developing a lifestyle of being generous is start giving spontaneously. Here's what will happen. Here's what I mean. Let me play this out for you. Is there will be times in your life when God will speak to you to be generous. You see somebody in need. You weren't planning on helping that person. You weren't planning on them being in your life that day. But you see somebody, all of a sudden you feel like God's saying, you know what? I mean, you may be at the gas station and you see a person. It's a homeless person. And you probably typically don't give to homeless person. You think, oh, they're going to take that money, they're going to squander it, they're going to waste it. But one day you're getting gas and God says, I want you to give that person, I want you to help that person. And so what you do is you just spontaneously, you weren't planning on, but you just give. And I'm telling you, God will do this to you. There will be times in your life when God will just speak to you. You weren't expecting it, you weren't planning it, but all of a sudden God begins to speak to the heart. And I'm challenging you, in those moments, just give spontaneously. Just give spontaneously. Or maybe like we had a service a few weeks ago. We brought in One Child Matters. And there was an opportunity. You saw a felt need that was presented. You weren't planning that day maybe on doing that. But there was a need. And you just that day, you spontaneously walked out of the foyer. And you took one of those names. And you just gave. You gave spontaneously. And so God will speak to you to give. He'll spark. God, I believe God will just spark a desire within you to give. And then it's your responsibility to act on that. And this may feel weird at first because you've never done it before. So write this down. Pull out your hand out there this morning. Try it. That's what, write that down. Try it. The next time you feel like God's speaking you to give, or you just feel like something's tugging at your heartstrings to give, just try it. Try it. Just do it. I'm serious. Like, you may leave service today. Maybe you're in service today. Maybe God's speaking to you to give an offering today. Just try it. Just give spontaneously. I know that's not what'll make you generous, but try it. And then, write this down, practice it. So then the next time that God does speaks that into your heart, the next time God sparks that desire, practice it. Again, right? You start to develop, you're developing a new lifestyle, new behaviors. Remember, I'm going to teach you to act like you are rich. So this may be new for you. Try it and then practice it and then watch this. The next time, write this down, the next time that you feel it, act on it. The next time, I know it's going to happen. God's going to speak to you again. You're like, oh no, I don't, you know what? They're going to waste that money or I don't think they deserve it. But the next time that you feel it, just simply act on it. Act on it. This is giving spontaneously. And I promise you what you're going to do, you're going to start to develop a new type of lifestyle, new behaviors of the rich. But obviously, generosity doesn't just happen by wishing it. If that were the case, there would be no needs in the world. There would not be people going hungry. The church wouldn't have any needs. Wouldn't have starving communities if people, man, I just wish that I could be generous. So the second way, and this is kind of like a progression, okay? The second way that you can start to become generous is you start giving sacrificially. Write that down. So the first way, you start giving spontaneously, then you start giving sacrificially. Now, I'm going to warn you because it's at this phase of you becoming and developing these new habits and this new lifestyle that you're going to start to face all the barriers in your life that not only keep you from being generous, stop you from continually giving to those that are in need. In fact, it's probably a good idea at this point to start making a list of those things that keep you from being generous. What's stopping you from being generous? What do you need to do to get around these things? And at this point, if the first way we give spontaneously is to wish that it happened, it's in this second phase here of learning to be generous, of developing this new lifestyle, that you start to will to be generous. That you don't just make a wish, you start to make it happen. You will yourself. And this is why. Go back with me now. Remember in our passage, Paul says to Timothy, command them to be generous. Verse 18, he says, command them to be generous. But then look, he attaches something else to that. He says, and willing to share. They're to be generous, but they're to be willing. The word willingly means to make or try to make someone do something or something by choice or by preference. So you want to be generous. You will get to a place in your life where you're not just giving off a whim, you're not giving spontaneously, but you are starting to force yourself to give. You will yours. You ever had to do that certain things in your life where you just will, you don't want to do it, you didn't wake up feeling like it, you didn't want to go to the gym that day, but you force yourself to do it. You make yourself do it. I remember this was years ago. The church that Sonia and I were attending, we'd been married for, I think, probably, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years. And we had built up a savings of $5,000. It had taken us a couple years, and we were super proud of the fact we had saved $5,000. And I remember the church that we were attending was getting ready to go into a building program. And so they were going to kick off like a pledge drive. And they were going to ask people to sacrificially give. And so I'm like, well, you know, we don't have anything to give. We have $5,000, but that's our savings. And that's all we've got. And I know God's not going to. And then I remember one night, it was a Wednesday night during a church service, that I felt like God spoke to me and says, I want you to give that $5,000. Can you imagine the conversation that went on between me and God for the next few moments when he tried telling me I was going to give $5,000, the only $5,000 that we had at the time? So I'm, in my mind, I'm kind of like arguing with God. I'm like, first off, I was like, surely this ain't God. God's not going to ask me to give $5,000 that I say. But then I was like, well, I know it's not the devil. It's not like the devil is going to be like, Donnie, go give that $5,000 to the church. And I'm arguing back and forth with myself. And finally, I got to the point where I was like, you're just going to have to, and I reached into my jacket pocket and I had my checkbook with me that night. And God's speaking to me like, I want you to give sacrificially tonight. And I remember it was like I was forcing myself to write out, and I did. That night, we gave and God will do this at times. He will call you to give this is part of being generous. This is where that $5,000 that you had all kinds of plans and ideas, and it was upgrading the house, it was getting this and getting that. God says, I want you to set aside your preferences for somebody else's needs. And you give sacrificially. And I'm telling you, at this phase, it's not like, man, I wish it happened, or yeah, he calls me to give, and I gave off a whim. You will yourself to give. Write this down. This is giving that goes above and beyond what is expected. Are you ready for this one? Give until it hurts, and then keep giving. I know this is, for some people, this is tough to swallow. Like, Pastor, you don't understand. That's going to hurt. I know, I understand. Trust me, I've been there. I've been there, done that multiple times. When God called me to this type of giving, where you give above and beyond, and then you give until it hurts, and then you find it within yourself just to keep on giving. This is the lifestyle that God calls us to. If you are rich, if you want to be rich, this is the type of lifestyle that God, he calls us to give sacrificially. Generosity doesn't just happen by accident. You will yourself to it. You will yourself. The third way, and this is where God wants every single one of us to live right here, what I'm going to share with you right now. He wants you to give spontaneously. He wants you to give sacrificially. But this is where, and I'm telling you, this is where God wants you to be. What I'm going to share with you right now. You ready? Write this down. Give strategically. Give generous people. I'm going to tell you something about generous people. Generous people, they give spontaneously because they're just generous. They're looking for opportunities. There are times in their life when they give sacrificially, but genuine, generous people, and you can get to this place. If you're not at this place, this is the place that God wants you to get, where you give strategically. Write this down. Decide to give and then give it, right? Will yourself to do it. And then be intentional. Be intentional about how you give. Sit down, figure out the percentages and amounts, and then do it. Give generously. In other words, if in the first way that you give, you make a wish, in the second way you make it happen, if I was to share it with you that way, the third thing that the way I would tell you to give strategically is for you to make a plan. For you to be intentional about how you give. Now, I guess the best way I can illustrate this is just share with you how Sonia and I decided that we would give. We give strategically. Okay? We don't only give when we just feel like it. We don't only give in those moments when God calls us to give sacrificially. We actually make a plan. Like, when you, if you've been through the Dave Ramsey course, you know he calls you to write out a budget every month. Okay? We're going to talk about this in a couple weeks when we talk about being disciplined, about stewardship. And you need to be doing this. If you haven't been to the Dave Ramsey class, you are doing yourself a disservice. Seriously, sign up. Go through it. That's just a commercial for a Dave Ramsey class. But here's what he'll tell you. And anybody would tell you that's trying to help you with your finances, you need to create a budget, that you need to be intentional about your finances. And the way that you're intentional about being generous is you make it part of the plan. Not just part of the plan, you make it the first part of the plan. So when you're writing out your budget, you know, you got a house payment, you got gas, you got groceries, you got, you know, kids' diapers, you got the gas bill, electricity bill, and you're intentional about that, right? You write that into your budget. Well, if you want to be generous, you be intentional about giving. You give strategically. And so you make that a part of your budget. You don't go through the budget and then be like, well, whatever I have left over, I think that I'll decide to be generous with that. No, you give strategically. Now, I was fortunate because my parents taught me this at a very, very young age. Like from the day I was born, if you know my dad, he's extremely generous. It wasn't how he started out, but he's developed this type of a lifestyle through following this. He's become strategically, he gives strategically. So I remember I was like 12 or 13 years old, and I was an entrepreneur. I started my first business, which was mowing lawns, the neighborhood lawnmower. That was me. And so I started this little bit. I got up to about 7 or 8 houses, and people started paying me. And my dad wanted me to teach me how to deal with my finances. And so he sit me down. I remember he had this old cherry wood desk. And he would sit there twice a month, because twice a month he paid bills. And typically you did not want to be around the old cherry wood desk when he was paying bills, right? It's not like the fun family time. It's where everybody's arguing because there's not enough money. And, you know, you spent money on this and you spent money on that. But on this one particular day, I remember he sat me down at the old cherry wood desk. And he was going to show me how to budget my money. And he wanted me to be generous. And so he showed me, okay, and I think I remember, in fact, I had a lady, her name was Harriet Lash. And Harriet Lash used to write me out a check every week. She wouldn't give me cash. She wrote out a check for $5 every week to me for mowing her yard. So we opened up a checking account, and he's helping me create a budget. And he says, now, the very first thing is I want you to be intentional about being generous. The first thing that you do is you set aside the first 10% of your money. In Christian terms, we call that the tithe, the first 10%. The first thing you do, I had a little checking account. You're going to write out a check for 10% on $5. That was 50 cents. I think I had 6 or 7 lawns, so I was maybe making 35 bucks a week. The first check you're going to write out is for $3.50 to the church. He taught me this. And he's intentional about giving. Now, he always wanted to go above and beyond because he wanted to be generous. So what he did is his base level for giving is he would give 10% tithe, and then he would give an additional 5% offering. It was not, catch this, it's not 10% of what's left over. It wasn't at the end. Listen, give strategically. Be intentional. The first check he wrote out at that old cherry wood desk, before he made out the mortgage payment, before he paid the gas bill, he wrote out a check for 10% to the church. And then he wrote out a second one for 5% to the church. Isn't that crazy? Dude's giving 15% of his money to the church. But why? He's giving intentionally. So when Sonia and I got married, you know what we decided we would do? The first 10% of our income. Every month, we have never missed a single month since the day we've been married. The first 10%, we always made sure that we gave strategically. In fact, we decided, and I'm not saying this for everybody, this is what we felt like God called us to do, is if my parents did 15%, I feel like we're in a much better position than they were when they started out, so we give the first 20%. First 20%. It's not what's left over. It's not like, oh, if we can afford it this month, babe, let's be generous. No. It's part of the budget. We give strategically. And I know some of you are thinking, Pastor, there's no way I could ever do that. I know you're thinking that. But when you give God the first, God blesses the rest. I hear people say, well, if I made a little more money, then I could tithe. I could give that 10%. You know, I'm making $50,000 a year right now, Pastor. If I ever get a raise, if I could get to that $75,000 a year threshold, man, I could tithe then. You know what? Here's a classic. People tell me this. Pastor Donnie, if I ever hit the lottery, oh, man. Oh, Pastor. You don't even know how generous I am. I've had people tell me, if I hit the lottery, I'm going to build Red Chapel a brand new church. And I smile. I'm like, man, that would be great. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, and I'm saying this to myself, no, you won't. No, you won't. You can't write out a check for $50 right now. That's hard for you to do. Could you imagine writing a check for $5 million to the church? And it's because you're not intentional about it. You wanted to give from excess. Listen to me. I'm sharing this with you this morning, number one, because it's my biblical responsibility. But I'm sharing this because this is where God wants you to get, where you give strategically. You are intentional about your giving. Listen to what Paul says. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose. In other words, not just off a whim or with a, you are thoughtful. You take into, watch this, just as he has decided, you made a decision in your heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You give and you're thoughtful about it. You put thought with it. You make a conscious decision. It's not, and can I tell you something? When you start making more money, you won't give more. Statistics show you this. Let me show you this real quick. I'm gonna show you this graph real fast this morning. I know you think, man, if I make more money, Pastor, I'll give more. But the truth is, you won't. This is statistics. This is research that they've done. You know who gives the most percentage wise within our society? The people that make the least. That's sad. The people that make the least. You know why? Because we're not strategic about the way we give. Look at this. People that make under $25,000 a year, they give 4.7% of their income away. People that make $50,000 a year to $75,000 a year, they give away 3% of their income. Oh man, Pastor, if I make more money, I'm going to give more. You won't. Unless you've already established in the very beginning that you're going to be intentional about the way that you give. People, oh man, if I can make Pastor, if I made $100,000, if I made $200,000, you know how much money I'd give to the church? You would give less. They give, this is just statistics, they give 2.3% of their income away. People that make that kind of money. So you know what God calls us to do? Is he calls you to set those amounts early on. I remember Sonya and I, we decided to do this. We weren't making very much money. And we decided, though, we're going to give the first 20% of our income. We're just going to be intentional about giving. We don't leave it to happen chance. After all the bills are paid, then I'm going to be generous. No, we want to be generous. In fact, we feel like we're accountable to be generous. It's our responsibility that the whole reason that God makes us to be rich is so that we'll be generous. So I can't leave that to chance. So we decided early on. We didn't make a lot of money. In fact, Sonia worked at the private church school where we were going. She felt like God called her to sponsor 4 of the kids in that private school. So she was making minimum wage, because if you've ever worked at a church school, they don't pay any money. They pay you just enough what they have to. So she was making minimum wage, and we sponsored 4 kids in that school. This is right when we first got married. The first year, we got married in June. School started in September. We started sponsoring 4 kids. Her paycheck every other week was $50. That's what she brought home. But we just decided early on, because I was able to live off my income already as it was. So that additional income, we just decided to strategically be generous. Now, I'm not saying you got to follow the way that Sonia and I give. What I am telling you, though, is you need to be strategic about your giving. The very first 10% of your income, you write that back to God's kingdom. You choose to be generous. You choose to be generous because you're giving strategically. And you know what God's doing is God's trying to build behaviors in your life. He's trying to change your future. Write this down. Behaviors build our futures. And what God wants to change is God wants to change your future. God wants to bless you. He wants you to prosper. And your behaviors are what will build your future. That's why I'm talking to you about the lifestyle, the way you act, your behaviors. That's what God wants to change. And behaviors will build your future. Who we are today and what we do today will dictate what we become tomorrow. And so you build these. And here's what happens. Now, generosity and giving, it becomes a habit. This won't happen overnight. But it will become a habit. And so you build it in because behaviors build your future. And here's the awesome thing about everything I'm teaching this morning is that the more you give, the more you have to give. This is my last scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It's Proverbs 11, verse 24. And it says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. In other words, you want your world to grow large? Be generous. You want to influence more and more people? Be generous. You want to grow richer? I don't know if that's a right good word. If you want to be more rich, be generous. The world of the generous. Do you see what God's wanting to do? God's wanting to enlarge your world. And the key to your world being enlarged is you being generous, giving spontaneously, sacrificially, and ultimately strategically. Because God wants you to bless you. And these behaviors will cause this effect in your life. You'll watch your world just get... Sonia and I started out. We were making a lot of money, giving everything we had that she made to kids so they could go to school. Guess what? I look back. I told you the story when God told me to write a check for $5,000. I promise you, there's never been a day I looked back and thought, man, if I'd have just kept that $5,000. Wow, imagine, Sonia, where we would have been today. Honestly, this is my life. Our world, and I don't mean just our finances. I mean our world just got larger and larger. Why? Because God's saying, I'm going to give you more so that you can be more generous. And this is the life. I'm telling you, this is, I feel like God's like that professor. He's saying, I can take that little Eliza Doolittle, and they may not see much right now, they may not appear to be much, but I can make them rich. And he can, and there's a formula to it. And it starts, I'm telling you, this is the first step in the process. We're going to cover a few more in a few weeks, but the first step in the process is you learning to become generous.
Thank you for listening to Red Chapel's podcast. It is our hope that you are inspired and motivated by the message that you have just heard. At Red Chapel, we are determined to create environments where people can experience life change. If you want to personally be part of that life change, submit a love offering at www.redchapel.org under the Donate tab. Your gift will change someone's life.